When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It is hour number three of the G-Back Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day as we're set to chat with Nick Harris of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. About all things football this weekend. And a good afternoon, Nick. We're efforting Nick Harris, probably at press box over there at AT&T Stadium.
I guarantee he's there.
We have Salina and Kilgore right now in the second quarter. Salina's leading that one 16-14. Congrats to the Carthage Bulldogs that got the dub earlier today, just as we were getting on air, as Nick Harris joins us now here on The Fan. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well. I am posted up here at AT&T Stadium watching these state championships today, having a great time.
Hell yeah, man.
So was this just like football nirvana for you?
This might be the best weekend of the year, fellas. There's a lot of contenders, but this is high up there, especially now that you factor in the first round of the college football playoffs. It is so up this weekend.
So what's the best game? Like, how would you power rank, including college football, the NFL games tomorrow, and then the state championships? I mean, Kilgore Salina seems like this could be an instant classic they were watching right now.
Zach, I wish I had time to break down all of the great games that we have this weekend here. I think the best one that will be here at AT&T this weekend, man, it might have been Stanford and Ganado yesterday. Went to triple overtime. Ganado won on the alternating two-point conversions. But, yeah, this Kilgore-Salina one, it's one of the headliners this weekend. And then tonight, South Oak Cliff and Richmond Randall is going to be fantastic.
So, Nick, I'm curious about your college football bracket. Who's in the final? Who do you have winning it all?
Yeah, I got Oregon and Georgia in the final, and then Georgia pulling it out. I just think the SEC might eventually be too much in a bracket like this, where they have to play, you know, potentially three and four games. In Oregon and Georgia's case, it would be three games, but, you know, for the other teams, four or four. I think the physicality in the trenches might just be a little too much for any other conference, and I'm just kind of giving conference prestige at that point. I think it's going to matter once you get to, like, January 18th.
So you're a believer in Gunnar Stockton, on the backup for Carson Beck?
Yeah, I do. I mean, seeing what he did in the SEC championship, filling in that second half, he looked good. But I think they can lean on that running game a little bit more. ETN will be a little bit more healthy by then as well, and that defense speaks for itself.
Hey, Nick, when you look at, you know, you and I've had a chance to kind of really study up on these Buccaneers defensively. Where's Dallas need to try and attack this? I kind of feel like that maybe Dallas's defense will hold up, but it's really going to come down to their offense. Where does Dallas need to try and make the best avenue of this?
You know, I think there might be an opportunity for some big plays in this game. Now, can Cooper Rush, you know, open that up for his own passing game? You know, his depth of target, I think, has been somewhere in between 4 and 5 yards during his starts through these games that he's filled in for Dak Prescott. But you factor in the safety play that the Buccaneers have had throughout the year, and then Antoine Winfield being ruled out earlier today. I think there's going to be opportunities on the back end of that defense. And it's a pass defense that ranks 30th in the NFL. So there's going to be opportunities there. I think if they can at least maintain and keep offensive rhythm with Rico Dowdle, they don't need 100 yards from him necessarily. But if they can just maintain offensive rhythm with him and they get the passing game going, especially with a couple of deep shots, I think they might have a chance against this defense.
Does the Cowboys defense have a chance of containing them? What do you think should be a good goal for them this weekend?
Yeah, now that's a different story. I think this this Buccaneers offense, it has some weapons. Now, Cade Otton, their tight end, was ruled doubtful today. I think that's definitely a positive mark if you're looking at it from the Cowboys' perspective, because he's been great, especially whenever Mike Evans and Chris Godwin were both down. He really stepped up as the main target for Baker Mayfield. But you look around, Bucky Irving and Rashad White, probably one of the better 1-2 punches at running back in the entire league. Irving leading all rookies and rushing yards. I believe it's at 851. Don't quote me on that, but he's looked really good in his first year out of Oregon. Then you factor in Jalen McMillan. He's starting to finally come into his own, come into form as a rookie. He's stepping into that wide receiver two role now that Chris Godwin has been ruled out for the year a few weeks back. But he's finally starting to find that stride. And then Mike Evans, he's trying to get to 1,000 yards. He won't tell you that, but Baker Mayfield knows about it. He talked about that earlier in the week. He's roughly 250 yards away from getting that. I think they're going to be feeding Mike Evans in this game.
Hey, Nick, you mentioned about with the two running backs with the Buccaneers. Are you worried about their ability to catch the football in this game after what we saw in Cincinnati?
Yeah, I think so. I think you look at a guy like Bucky Irving, who has succeeded not only here in the NFL level, but back to his Oregon days with being a threat out of the backfield. It's certainly something to keep an eye on. But I think Maris Leofau has a specific advantage there in that game just because he has the coverage skills from his days as a safety going back to early in his college days and in his high school days. So he has kind of those knacks to him. He's going to be the one accounting for the running backs out of the backfield. So it's going to be a fun challenge for Maris Leofau. I don't think we might necessarily see him blitzing as often in this game, but we're going to see his coverage abilities tested quite a bit. And I think it'll be a good opportunity for the rookie. But yeah, both of these backs, they can be a weapon out of the backfield. Baker Mayfield loves to find them in the receiving game. He's been leaning on them a lot since Godwin has gone down. So yeah, certainly something to keep an eye on.
Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, with us here in the G-Bag Nation. Yeah, you look at the Bucs draft class. I mean, they probably had a draft show favorite with my guy Graham Barton, your Bucky Irving. I think we all love Jalen McMillan. What do you think about Osa-Digizua and that matchup with the offensive line, especially in the interior of that Bucs front? Because Osa has been arguably the best defensive tackle in football over the last month.
Yeah, I'm with you, especially from a pass rush perspective. I think that's really where you've seen it. Where you've seen him shine. I think when you look at Cody Mauch at right guard and then Graham Barton at center, I think it's kind of crazy to say, but I think Cooper Beebe's maybe been more consistent as a center throughout the year than Barton has been, whereas Barton has maybe flashed a little bit more. I think Barton's going to end up being a 10- to 15-year pro. I've stood on that since the beginning of the draft cycle, but you've seen him have some lapses making that transition to center, and especially in the pass rush. So I think there's going to be an opportunity for Osa-Digizua to be able to create pressure from that interior. I'm also looking at how Mike Zimmer plays with this defensive front, because you look at the interior in general from left guard all the way to right guard, they give up some pressures there in that interior. So how do they attack the left guard? How do they attack the left side? Do they maybe try to isolate Carl Lawson or Micah Parsons there in the interior and try to get them going? How does he use that double mug linebacker look to send some blitzers, maybe a guy like Donovan Wilson as well? There's going to be some opportunities, I believe, here in the pass rush. And if you can get home and start affecting Baker Mayfield where this offense begins, then I think that might have a trickle-down effect on how this defense might succeed on Sunday night.
Nick, who's got to step up besides CeeDee Lamb? I mean, that to me, I've kind of in my mind just kind of moved on. And not really from, you know, Turpin and guys like, I know Cooks missed a lot of games, but, you know, Brooks being out and, you know, Tolbert, who's going to be that guy?
Yeah, it's time for Brandon Cooks, I think, to take that step forward. You look at it, and sure, he's missed 7 games, but Jalen Brooks having more receiving yards than Brandon Cooks at this point in the season is still pretty crazy. And I think over these next 3 games, Brandon Cooks does have a lot to play for, because he'll be hitting free agency in March. And if he can put together a solid stretch of 3 games, whether it be sticking with the Cowboys or going elsewhere, he's playing for bread. And so I think if they can find a way to get Brandon Cooks involved in the offense just a bit more and try to get him involved with more targets, more receptions, I think it could end up helping Cooper Rush, especially against a defense like this that has lapses in their secondary.
What's your opinion on what Micah had to say with the media a couple days ago? And this year for him, more than any, it does seem like we're actually seeing a lot of personal growth where he's not only saying the right things, but that's kind of starting to mirror the actions as well.
Yeah, I'm with you, Zach. And it's funny because I think when we went into training camp going into this year, I think there were rightful questions about how much Micah Parsons really loved the game and how much he actually cared about being around the team and things of that nature, because he didn't show up for OTAs. He didn't show up for any voluntary activity until it was a paycheck that was threatened to get taken away whenever they got to mandatory minicamp. So I think there were rightful questions being asked going into camp about, okay, how much does he actually care? How much does he actually want to be here? I think he's answered all those questions this year. I have to give credit to Mike Zimmer as well, because whenever they first got introduced or first got going at training camp, he took it upon himself to meet with Micah every morning. And then eventually Trayvon Diggs makes his way in there, and then Donovan Wilson, and it's kind of a trickle-down effect to where they see Micah Parsons being approached by the defensive coordinator. They see him as a defensive leader, and I think Micah's kind of taking it upon himself to be that guy. I think it was a situation that's just me speaking that I don't think Micah Parsons necessarily wanted to be the leader until he necessarily had to be. And I think he had to be by a certain point by the season, especially after DeMarcus Lawrence went down with his foot injury. He needed to take a step forward either vocally or on the field. And he's been able to do that. But I think when you look at it from a contract perspective, going into the offseason, what he had to say a couple days ago, man, he's giving this front office flexibility. And I think it's something that they should call his bluff on. Yeah. I think they should go to that negotiation table as soon as possible, try to get this done as soon as possible to figure out what they are working with going into free agency. But as we saw it play out last year, you know, with Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb, I think, you know, it's probably something you shouldn't hold your breath on. But Micah Parsons, at least right now, is giving them flexibility, or at least communicating that he wants to.
With Trayvon Diggs, back-to-back seasons with pretty catastrophic knee injuries, and now the phrase bone graft being used in a report about this pending operation that he's going to have. How much concern do you have for Trayvon moving forward?
Yeah, it's a chondral injury, which is basically him the tendons that connect the bone to the knee are having some issues, and there's going to be a lengthy recovery process that goes along with that. It's a major surgery, and so you know, back-to-back major knee injuries, major knee surgeries that he has to deal with back-to-back years right off this contract, it's going to have to be a decision that this front office has to make. Do they trust in his ability to be 100% when he comes off of that second knee injury? If that answer is no, then they might have to start looking at some situations where they can free up some space in his place. And if that answer is yes, then there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on number 7 whenever he does come back to the field, because there's going to be limited room for error at that point. So, it's certainly, I think, one of the bigger decisions that they have in this offseason when it comes to potentially letting guys under contract leave the building. I think Trayvon Diggs is one of those. I think Terrence Steele is another of those. I think you look at the safeties as well. They have to ask themselves questions, the front office, and ask if they, you know, see the price tag matching the level of play or even the availability for some of these guys moving forward.
Is it viable to become a contender with Guyton, BB, Hoffman being three of the guys? To what extent have those three young guys impressed you?
Yeah, I think you've seen growth from all three of those guys at times, and I think you've seen at their best, they've been really good. Even Guyton, I think whenever you think back to what his best has looked like this year, sure, it was probably all the way back in week one against Myles Garrett, but he had a good showing in that instance. I mean, by the end of this season, he will have doubled his career starts on the offensive line in his entire football career. So he still has a lot of growth. He's still really green, really raw. I think a full offseason with whoever the offensive line coach is, whether that's Mike Solari or someone else that comes into the building, I think that will help him grow going into year two. But talking about those three consistently, I think those three guys can be part of a unit that could be pretty solid for Dallas moving forward. I mean, you look at Hoffman and how he's performed in pass protection. I think he's been phenomenal. He has that nasty edge to him that I think trickles down to all five guys. And we've seen BB be so consistent as the year has gone on. And that's what that offensive line needs. It needs consistency more than anything.
Do you think anything's on the line here other than a 1% chance of making the playoffs in the final three games? Like, what happens if they would lose all three games? Could that shake anything up one way or the other?
I mean, you look at not only the coaches that are on expiring deals, but you look at all these players that are on expiring deals. There's a lot to play for in these last three games. And, you know, from a coaching perspective, 6-11 looks a lot different than 9-8 or even 8-9. And I think there's going to be a lot to play for going all the way up into week 18 for some of these guys, just because they're playing for their jobs at the end of the day. And for some guys like Osa Digizua or Chauncey Golston, Carl Lawson, they're playing for more money. And so, there's still going to be a lot to play for down the stretch here.
Speaking of coaches, how are things going with you and Big Mike these days? Sounded like you amused him again on Monday.
Oh, yeah. Me and Mike are good, always.
It's funny, man. I always look forward to your questions. So what's that AT&T press box like compared to a Cowboys game day with the high school stuff going on?
Yeah, unfortunately, they don't have the great food spread for us here for the high school days. They actually have to make us pay for food up here, which is wild. And I'm like, man, that was kind of crazy the first year that I came here. Yeah. And they provided food for a Cowboys game. I was like, oh, so they do this around here. But, yeah, it's a little different. You have the local East Texas guys that'll pop in, and you might hear a cheer from the one side of the press box every once in a while, but it's all in good faith and good fun. It's Texas high school football, so it's a little less low key, I guess you could say, and they can get away with a little bit more hooting and hollering in the press box, but it's good times.
All right, the chances SMU and Texas can both get dubs tomorrow.
You know, I had some faith in SMU being able to fight against a team like Penn State, but then when I saw it was 13 degrees in Happy Valley tomorrow morning, I was like, oof, I don't know if that's going to benefit the Mustangs any. I don't have a ton of faith in SMU, but I think Texas gets it done tomorrow. I think in Texas's case, they go as far as Quinn Ewers does in the playoffs.
Great stuff, Nick. Enjoy your football paradise.
Yeah, appreciate it, fellas. Y'all have a great one.
There he goes. Nick Harris, Star Telegram, with you once again here in the G-Bag Nation. Done a hell of a job since bursting on the scene there. Our first conversation with him in Oxnard a couple of training camps ago. And, you know, every time we have him on, it is a wealth of information. Eric Henry covers the Texas beat for 24/7 Sports. He's coming up at 4:40. Well, Chuck, what is next?
National Underdog Day, 877-881-1053. What's your favorite underdog story? But more importantly, what's your favorite underdog movie? That's
why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
What's next?
All right, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. We are live here on 105 Through the Fan. I've spent the last 5 minutes getting a repetitive phone call from the same person who won't say anything. It's driving me crazy. I just had to block it. It was East Texas, so I figured it might be family.
How patient. That's amazing how patient you were with that.
I figured it was like an uncle or something, and
let it hang up, and then it call back. You let it
like
hello,
in 3 seconds.
Hello, and then crazy. And hang up.
But I heard somebody breathing twice. I was like, maybe this is a Shannon Sharp type of moment, or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, Mama Theo.
Right?
There you go, Mathiel.
Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels and get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. Maybe I'll try calling them back. I ultimately blocked the number, but it might be somebody I know, so I'm going to unblock and try to call them back next break. Here's Zach with an H. You're Wooly Bully. Your top 10.
I do just want to give, and it's National Underdog Day, and I know this was a great underdog story, one of the best names in college football, 877-881-1053.
You're about to give Lucius a heart attack.
I am. What's your favorite underdog? What's your favorite underdog movie? But shout out to Ohio offensive lineman Parker Titsworth. He finished his career. It's his name, Lucius. It's his name. And he started for Ohio today. He did, wearing the number 69. Helped pave the way to a victory in the Fighting Cancer Bowl, the Cure Bowl.
Cure Bowl.
And shout out to Parker. And
Fighting Cancer Bowl.
Yeah.
Did they wear pink?
He was wearing his pink cleats.
Pink, yeah.
Yep, so Parker.
That man seized his moment, didn't he?
He did.
He was made for this.
Like this was perfect. Like, what a farewell to Parker Titsworth in the Cure Bowl fighting breast cancer.
Oh, wow.
And Ohio gets the win.
Good for him, bro.
So this, and he wears 69 as well. Like, this dude understood the assignment, and that is, for all time, one of the greatest names in college football history. And maybe he's got an NFL future. We got to scout this kid out.
Yeah.
Maybe we get him on the Cowboys.
Maybe he's a stud.
Those shelves, those jerseys are flying off the shelves.
Yeah,
in that case, there's a good opportunity here.
And if I had to put a monetary value on it, looks like about $5,000 to $10,000 or something for a nice set.
Mm-hmm. You know? I think so. All right. big time upset for Party City.
I prefer the Lord's work, you know.
Me too.
I like natural myself.
Natural. I'm with you as well. We don't need the silicone. Party City's closing down all stores nationwide.
Why?
Oh, man.
I know.
What did we do wrong? Not enough balloon sales? What are we
doing? I'm not sure.
That's where I got the Ben Franklin outfit.
Yeah. Like, they always have tremendous costumes. Anytime you needed something in a pinch for like a birthday party, you can run into Party City. They're probably going to have it. You're covered. But now I guess they're shutting down. We've really lost a lot of great stores over the years.
Mm. I mean, Toys R Us, probably the king of them.
Yeah.
But I do feel like, you know, the online shopping is probably putting a lot of these spots out of business.
You're right.
It's unfortunate, though. We're going to have to plan ahead.
Oh, wow.
You know, I guess Target and Walmart can kind of fill the void a little bit.
Do they do balloons?
I don't. Balloons, man.
I don't know where else to get balloons. Flower
That's
shop,
what I'm
maybe?
Saying.
I don't know. Like, Party City was the
dollar capital. Store.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Lucius, you have to blow them up yourself, though?
Nah, they do them for you right there. The helium. Some 18-year-old kid.
Thank you. That has saved us.
He can't wait for you to ask for some helium. Bye. I'll be right back.
All right. Let's get to the underdog story, shall we? Eddie the Eagle got texted in. Absolutely. Eddie the Eagle's phenomenal. Dodgeball. It's in the name. Yeah, Dodgeball, true underdog story from the 214. Their favorite underdog movie, Lucius. When we talk underdogs, there's a lot, man.
There's a lot. Dumbo. Dumbo was a complete underdog. Really sad story, too.
Yeah, he was.
Scarface.
Really big underdog.
He had octopus coming out of his ears.
Do you want to play rough?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Pursuit of Happiness.
Dude, Pursuit of Happiness.
Wow. What a sad movie.
It is, but it's one of the best movies ever. Like,
yeah, it motivates you.
It does.
I'm going to do something with myself, man. Look at this guy. He can trade stocks now.
And then that scene where they have to go basically sleep in the bathroom at the subway.
Yeah.
Like, that'll rip your heart out.
Yeah.
And you're rooting for him the whole time, but he does.
Don't ever let anybody tell you can't do nothing.
Never. Never. The Replacements is an honorable mention. Tremendous story of underdogs. The Mighty Ducks. Yeah.
Direct.
Knuckle
quack,
puck, quack.
Right? Yeah. Quack, quack, quack.
Wasn't Emilio Estevez, he was the coach, right?
He was.
And he was kind of like
Gordon Bombay.
Alcoholic. Yeah, he was an alcoholic.
He got arrested.
He was a mess.
Driving. He was named Bombay.
Gordon Bombay. And then he ended up like that. That's what he had to do. He had to go ahead and coach the D2 Mighty Ducks. And boom, that's what ended up happening.
Just an old playoff. The Bad News Bears. It's fantasy. It's not underdog. It's just not reality. You're not taking the worst team in the league that's never won a game and winning the championship.
Bad News Bears.
What you might do is coach them up and have other parents from good teams notice that you're a good coach. And then move to you.
That's what I liked about the Mighty Ducks is they got the ringer Adam Banks out of this.
Yeah.
Like, District 5 was not good enough on their own. They didn't have the talent. So what did Gordon Bombay do? He goes and he looks at, okay, this kid's playing for the Hawks,
NIL
who's
money.
The best team. but technically he should be playing for District 5 based on where he's living. So the zoning ended up being different. So he finds the loophole. He gets Gordon Bombay. He gets him on his team. So now Bombay's got the ringer, baby, and Adam Banks. Shout out to you.
It's the Bombay.
That's what it's all about. The Minnesota Miracle Man. The Natural with Robert Redford.
Mm.
Honorable mention. How about Seabiscuit?
Loved it.
I love that movie.
Yeah,
I love the story.
Honestly,
I shed a tear.
Like the jockeys?
Yeah.
That is a tough profession right there.
No, it's.
And how do you just like, how do they find jockeys? Do you grow up like, I'm short, I'm a little man, so yeah. Now I get to like, let me that's tell you. What I want to do is be a jockey? I'm built for this.
Absolutely.
You know, there's some of those tracks, man. I mean, these dudes, like, it's not good, the lifestyle of that. And no. Then not everybody gets to ride at Churchill Downs, you know, or Santa Anita. I mean, if you're good, they'll find you, man.
And you gotta have a little evil to you too, because you're like whipping these horses, right? Aren't you like giving them a little on the hunt? Like, giddy up now.
You gotta talk to them. Yeah. Talk to Brad.
Gotta become one with the horse.
Let's go Red. Yeah.
Go Red. Yeah. Ford versus Ferrari.
That was very underdog, man.
Yeah, it was a great show.
It's a phenomenal movie too. Yeah.
They shouldn't have done the closing scene.
Oh gosh, heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Didn't need it.
That's how
that did happen though, right? Like that was real.
That's real. That's how he left.
Little Giants from the 817.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Little Giants is Air Bud getting texted in. Heavyweights.
Yeah, it's a good underdog story.
That is. Hardball. A lot of love for Hardball coming in here.
Like Mike was cool.
Like Mike was good too. The yes.
Hoosiers,
like
right?
Hoosiers. Oh, Hoosiers will make the top 10.
Okay, I'm sorry. There's like another one I could throw out there, but I know it's going to be in the top three.
Slumdog
number one, right?
Yeah, it's got to be number one, right?
I know what you're thinking too. I got the music lined up over here.
I didn't want to. I've ruined everybody's bits for 5 years
you're
now.
Good.
I'm not going to ruin anybody's bit today.
Eight Mile. That's honorable mention. 42, the Jackie Robinson story.
About time you thought about that, dumbass.
But the one just on the outside looking in is, well, actually, number 10 is Invincible with Vince Papale, which is a tremendous story. It sucks it's the Eagles, but that is badass.
You know, when you said Invincible, I thought about the rugby thing with the rugby movie, the South African rugby movie.
Yes, Nelson Mandela.
What was that movie called?
Invictus.
Invictus. Okay,
that's
when you said
movie.
Invincible, I thought of Invictus.
No, Invictus. Yeah. Matt Damon's
Matt
in
Damon,
it.
The
His
rugby.
His South African accent in that movie is actually incredible. Yeah. He did a very good job.
Yeah.
And then Morgan Freeman plays Nelson Mandela.
That's a real story, right?
With the Springbok, yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody on the fan text says Showgirls was a underdog movie.
I tell you what, such flexibility by that actress.
Yeah, I used to lean against my door and watch that movie. What you doing in there?
Nothing.
Put on my shoes.
Knock first.
Yeah,
number 9 is A League of Their Own. Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
8 is Million Dollar Baby. Boxing's going to make
Boxing,
it.
Boxing, yeah.
It's going to take over here. 7 is Braveheart.
Huh.
6, we've got Hoosiers.
There you go.
There you go.
I like it when he gets the drunk guy coach.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Hoosiers is good. I mean, Gene Hackman's so damn good in that movie. He really is. Yeah. Number 5, underrated movie, and I was surprised to made this list, is Warrior. Which is an MMA film, Tom Hardy and Joel Edgerton, and they're actually brothers. They enter an MMA tournament. They end up having to fight each other at the end.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy. It's a phenomenal film if you haven't seen it. Number 4 is The Karate Kid.
Nice. LaRusso.
That is a good underdog story. Ooh, Cool Runnings being texted in.
I love Cool Runnings.
Cool Runnings is a fantastic call.
My favorite John Candy movies.
Yes, that is so good. Angels in the Outfield, absolutely. Top 10 underdog movies on National Underdog Day. Number 3, we've got Remember the Titans. Number 2 is Miracle.
I don't know. I don't remember any specifics about those football movies. They just all blend together.
They're just kind of like the same for
you. You'll start talking about one, I'll think it's a different one.
Yeah. Tim, you're right. Major League didn't make it. Rudy, absolutely. That is an underdog movie. The Program. Number 2 is Miracle, though.
Seat at the table.
Yeah.
Starting defense. Seat at the table.
Strong side. 2, Miracle with Kurt Russell, which, I mean,
He was a great Herb Brooks.
He was fantastic, and that's one of the best underdog stories in sports history. Oh,
I mean, Russia beat him like 8-0 or something.
Yeah, they crushed the NHL All-Stars, too. And then you get these like college kids. It's crazy.
Just pulled the best goalie in the world.
But number 1, and Lucius, you've nailed it. It is out, without a doubt, Rocky. And we could go with the entire Rocky franchise, really, whichever is your favorite. Rocky 4.
I mean, Lang.
Where he goes to the Soviet Union.
Yeah. 1.
Apollo.
Avengers Apollo. But yeah, I mean, start
Drago.
With Rocky 1. Yeah. Drago.
One.
Every one of his fights.
I mean, all of them except for Tommy Gunn. I mean, we can just skip Rocky 5. That was a disgrace.
And Thunder Lips, you know, that was an exhibition when he fought Hogan.
But man, I mean, he was literally picked. Apollo, I'm going to beat the crap out of you. This bum, this Italian stallion. Then what do you know? There ain't going to be no rematch. And then there was a rematch.
Shut up, old man.
Ding, ding.
Ding, ding. I mean, Rocky
Mickey,
is...
Mickey, great trainer, huh?
Mickey.
Yeah, he wrote that movie, too.
He did. Wrote it, directed it, I mean, shout out.
And they were going to make it without him and really? Threw a whole bunch of money at him. And he stood on business. He was like, nah, yeah. You're not going to make this Who's movie just, without me.
Did he have to sell his dog? He had to sell his dog to fund it.
Imagine that. Yeah. Enough money to say, you know what? Okay, fine. I'll write another one after this. No, he was like, nah, I have to be in this one.
Mm. Lucius, do you know who was going to play the part?
No.
Ooh,
they never said
phenomenal
that.
Phenomenal question, but thank God nobody else did. Yeah. I mean, Sylvester Stallone
I'm pretty
is
sure I can find it.
Rocky.
Yeah. I'm sure I could Google it too, Lucius. I'm sorry about that. I'm over here acting like I'm talking on a can and a string. Yeah. Oh, can you hear me?
They were looking at Burt Reynolds.
I have to go research it
James
in the library.
Caan.
Yeah, I see
oh,
it.
Alexander. Can yeah, you hear me?
Robert Redford.
Yeah, Robert Redford. Ryan O'Neill. Burt Reynolds.
But Ryan O'Neill played a boxer in a movie one time, I believe.
Yo, Adrian. Dude,
I think he did.
All righty. Thank you, Wolchuk. Top 10 every afternoon, 4:20.
Rocky'll get me in the feels, man. It's my mom's favorite movie. So, like, I grew up, like, always watching these on the loop with my mom. So,
yeah.
It's good. It's good holiday vibes.
I love it, too, man. They always get me. Okay. And the Creed movies are fantastic as
they
well.
Are. Yeah.
It's been really neat to, you know, have that story continue on. Okay, Eric Henry, Texas beat writer for 24/7 Sports. He covers the Longhorns, and he joins us next in the Nation. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It is a Friday. We're talking Cowboys. We're talking college football playoffs. We have an eye at half. Salina leads Kilgore 27-14, so we're keeping you up to date on that as well. And coming up at 5:20, of course, what you drinking, what you thinking. So if you are cracking them, set a reminder and give us a ring here coming up in about a half hour. And joining us now is Eric Henry, Texas Longhorns beat writer at 24/7 Sports. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
He's in the building!
Doing all right, fellas. How about yourself?
We're doing great. Thanks for asking. Do you think the Longhorns are 12 points, two touchdowns better than Clemson?
Undoubtedly. I know that sounds, you know, kind of crazy to come in there so full-throated and say undoubtedly, but, I mean, let's just call a spade, right? And I don't mean it's disrespectfully to Dabo Swinney's club, but I don't think it's out of bounds to say they kind of backdoored their way into the college football playoff. SMU, you know, had SMU be able to take care of business in that second half against the Tigers. We're not having this discussion right now. So double-digit favorites, yes, I think that goes to show the strength of the SEC compared to the ACC. And quite frankly, I mean, this is another Texas team. It's funny, I was talking about this on an earlier radio spot. Just as last year's club had double-digit NFL picks, you can just go off the top of your head and come up with 8-9 NFL draft picks before you're really diving through this roster is too deep. So, yes, that is not out of bounds in my mind.
How's the health of the Horns going into this matchup? Is Isaiah Bond unlikely to go tomorrow?
You know, it's interesting, guys, because I guess I'll work in reverse here. So Isaiah Bond was doing, you know, one of those promo spots for Raising Cane's yesterday, and he was asked by a local reporter, not even a sports reporter, a news reporter, hey, you know, how's the ankle? And he said it's coming along fine. And when he was asked, are you going to play? He said he expects to play. Now, he could be being coy or, you know, just in gamesmanship, who knows? But as I said, I'll work in reverse. During the very brief practice availability that Steve Sarkisian was mandated, and I say mandated because Texas does not allow media to watch practice during the season, but because this is a college football playoff game, there had to be some measure of availability for the media on Monday. IB didn't practice. I mean, he was at least during the media portion, he was watched from the sideline. So it's going to be interesting to watch, but that's the main injury. It looks like, you know, Quinn Ewers' ankle, while it may, you know, play a little bit of a factor, seems to be fine. Kelvin Banks' ankle as well seems like he's going to be good to go. So IB will be the main injury to keep an eye on.
Hey, Eric, you know, in our station here, we, you know, we like to talk about, you know, the possibilities of with Quinn and then and Arch and that situation. And I know you don't get to watch a lot of practice, but you live with that football team. Are we maybe going to see more of Arch in this game? I know that he's kind of used him in certain situations, but could we see him for a series or two in the first half and maybe a series or two in the second half?
Well, okay, if you say a series, I wouldn't go that far. If you're asking me, are there situations within a series that you can see him, I think the answer is yes. The reason I feel that way is because, listen, you know, Steve Sarkisian, I think, has done an excellent job managing this quarterback room over the past 2 years. I mean, with Arch Manning, Malik Murphy, of course, now had an excellent year at Duke, now heading to Oregon State, and, of course, Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning. So I think he's done a really good job managing the quarterback room, but now you're talking about a situation in which you're not worried about, hey, what is going to be the media narrative next week? What's going to be the situation I got to worry about, you know, for the next game, the next few games? This is a playoff. It's win or go home.
Yeah.
So if there are situations where it's, you know, third downs and third and medium, right? I take, for example, Texas, you know, 6 of 18 on third down 2 weeks ago against Georgia. If Arch Manning's legs can give you a different factor, you use them. If Arch Manning's legs can give you a different factor in the red zone, you use them. You're not worried about hurt feelings. You're not worried about managing the quarterback room because it's win or go home.
Do you think Texas can make its way through the bracket without getting anything from Arch?
That's a good question. The answer I'm going to give you is yes, but here's the caveat. And I say this about, realistically, the entirety of this field outside of Oregon, because Oregon obviously comes in unblemished and has shown that, you know, they can go the entire way. I think if you look at this entirety of the college football playoff field, and you can make the argument that any of these teams, if they play their A game, can beat anybody. But you can also say you've seen all of these teams outside of Oregon play some variation of their B game or B minus game and look, quite frankly, lackluster. So in specificity to Texas, the question you asked me, can Texas make an extended run and not get anything from Arch Manning? The caveat is if Texas's offense, and I need to specify the offense because Texas's defense has done nothing but bring their A game all season. If Texas's offense can look like the unit that it was the way of performing prior to Quinn Ewers' injury against UTSA, yes, they can get through the playoff without any contribution from Arch Manning. But the flip side of that, and it'd be idiotic of me not to acknowledge it, is we're talking about the college football playoff and not UTSA, ULM, or a really bad Michigan team.
How juicy is the storyline with Cade Klubnik, Austin Kidd coming back to take on the Horns?
Oh, I mean, there's no doubt about it. That's a big-time storyline. I mean, I don't know how it's playing up there in North Texas, but here in Central Texas, you're talking about the fact that you have Cade Klubnik, a Westlake chap, of course, has teammates, former high school teammates who are now on the Texas roster, most notably Michael Taft. Michael Taft talked about his friendship with Cade Klubnik, saying that, hey, back in the COVID year, all those guys had to, could do was just toss the football around, and they developed a really strong bond. Ethan Burke, I'm forgetting the other kids in their defensive end right now, Colton Vosick, thank you, all Westlake chaps. And then you consider the fact that, of course, they beat Quinn Ewers. Southlake, yep. Carroll Tracks beat them in the state title game, right? Michael Taft picked off Quinn Ewers, ironically enough. So, no, it's a big-time storyline. I think it's something that, it's not one of those things that I think there's, ill feelings, oh, Texas didn't recruit me. But just the hometown kid coming back home and wanting to perform well in front of the hometown fans, absolutely.
Hey, Eric, Texas has gotten off to some slow starts. Would that be the one thing that you would be worried about the most coming into this football game? That the fact that, that Clemson gets going and all of a sudden there's a little bit of a little bit of murmuring and hush in the stadium there?
It would be a close second. I'll start with what would be my first. Texas, if they can perform better in the red zone, and quite frankly, when you talk about a team that performed in 98th, in the red zone this year, 59 red zone trips, 39 touchdowns. That's unacceptable for a team, with this kind of talent on offense.
Sure.
That concerns me more. The way they performed in the high red zone against Georgia, getting down there in the 20, 25 yard line, 20, 25, 30 yard line and having to settle for 3 points and not be able to find sevens, that concerns me more. The reason why the slow start doesn't concern me as much is because Texas's defense has performed so well this year that they're going to do what they've done all year, which is buy their offense time to find its footing. And it's not ideal. Ideally, Texas's offense would come out firing off all cylinders. But if they don't, Texas's defense has proven that they can buy them time. Now, again, what concerns me more isn't necessarily, the fact that they can eventually find their footing and buy time. It's that when they do get down in those situations, they get into opponent's territory, they're not selling for 3 points. That concerns me more than the slow start.
How about, the turnovers, 22 in 13 games. Clemson's defense, not great, but it is opportunistic.
Yeah, Clemson's defense forced 25 turnovers this year. They're right up there with the Longhorns who have forced 28. It's a combination of Quinn Ewers and then just some of the turnovers have almost kind of been, mind-boggling. You take a look at the running back situation. I don't want to throw one player under the bus, but Jaden Blue hasn't performed, to not even a Division I level. I'd say a high school level in terms of securing the football. He's got to do a better job. Quintrayvon Wisner has had some issues. Jarrett Gibson as well. So you can't provide this Clemson team with additional opportunities. Again, Texas's defense has performed well. They've risen to the occasion, but look no further than the Georgia game. Georgia scored 30 points, but of course 23 of those points came in the first half, and all 23 of those points came on drives of 40 yards or less. That just was because Texas's offense gave them the ball, gift wrapped Georgia's offense points. So that's a concern, no doubt.
Hey, Erica, are the fans ready with the plastic bottles just in case things don't go well early in this football game?
Listen, I took some heat from some Longhorn fans and from the boards over on our Horns 24/7 message boards because, look, the SEC can cover their behind, and that's fine. No one in this world is going to convince me that the SEC and the refs weren't bought additional time with those plastic bottles being thrown to make the right call there. It ended up being the right call, but I don't blame Kirby Smart for feeling like, you know, the officials were trying to give him the screw job when all of a sudden, you know, your offense is out there ready to run a play, and then all hell breaks loose.
Well, welcome to the SEC. I'm an LSU man myself, so we're all about that. You know, just awesome. Get ready for this officiating. Every time you cover a game, you're going to see something you probably have never seen before.
Eric Henry, Texas beat writer with us here in the G-Bag Nation. I did want to ask about the transfer portal and how Sark's kind of been handling that. I know we've heard a lot locally. Rhett Lashley has been complaining about it. Other coaches in the playoff have not been happy with this. What's the perspective from Austin?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Steve has made his feelings clear, and I think he's well within his right to feel the way that he's felt that the NCAA, and I'm not quoting him here, I'm just kind of, you know, paraphrasing, the NCAA is a day late and a dollar short. I mean, to quote Steve, it would be like the NFL opening the you know, free agency on the day the playoffs start, right? Like, that doesn't make any sense. So the fact that you're having to not only defend your roster, but try to, you know, come with acquisitions of your own in the middle of a playoff is just really kind of, I mean, it's silly, and it's another example of the NCAA being behind the times. I mean, Texas has managed to go out and get a couple players, most notably Jack Bomeister, the Utah punter, which it sounds, you know, kind of mundane or whatever on its surface. But Michael Kern, true freshman punter out of my neck of the woods in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, has been average this year at best. They need a weapon in the punt game, so Bomeister should be able to fill that role. But, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that the portal has been a situation where there are people probably looking to raid Texas's roster right now, and it doesn't make it easy when you're trying to prepare for a playoff game while also defending off, you know, the million-dollar offers that insert school is offering to your guys.
Eric, how optimistic would you be against Arizona State and then likely Oregon?
Arizona State, I still feel that Texas, now they're going to need to play it can't be the B game. It can't be the B-minus game. Maybe you can get away with the B-plus game, but I still feel that Arizona State's kind of outkicked this coverage this year. You know, I'm not a big 12 guy. I'm a UCF grad, so I kind of follow that league a little bit. And there's no one in that league that really, truly impresses me too much. So I think Texas can get past Arizona State. Now the question is Oregon, right? If that game is in Arlington, your guy's neck of the woods, it gets interesting. If that game, for some odd reason, you know, if the CFP or if Oregon decided that, you know, hey, we're going to go and take that thing to South Florida, then I don't know. But the Oregon game is the one that would give me more pause. I think Dylan Gabriel is one of the most underrated players, most disrespected players in college football. All that guy does is win and perform wherever he is. If we talk about Cade Klubnik being the best quarterback Texas has faced, you ramp that up even more when talking about Dylan Gabriel.
Eric Henry, 24/7 Sports. You killed it, man. Thank you so much. And maybe we could do it again next week.
Anytime. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Salute. There he goes. All right. Thank you. Coming up next, in addition to the finest, Woolchuck, where are you taking it?
Yeah, let's go ahead and continue to preview the college football playoff. We got drunk kickers and a 7th-rate offer that's next.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.